This morning reminds me of a story my father shared with me some years ago. He was speaking about this priest who had spent the week just really preparing for his homily and spent hours and hours, and he felt like he had a masterpiece. And so he went to Mass and to celebrate, and there was only one person out there in the pews. And anyway, he said, well, what the heck? So he went out, waxed and waned. It was a beautiful, powerful, inspiring homily. And, so after Mass, he finished and processed out, and he asked the gentleman, what did you think of my homily? Well, the gentleman was a farmer, and so he said to him, well, it's like kind of like this. In the morning, I go out to feed the cattle, right? And I got a whole wagon full of silage. And I'm ready to dump that whole load of silage to the cattle and feed them in the pen. But you know what? If only one of the cows comes up to eat, to feed, I don't dump and give them the whole load. So, anyway, I'm not going to give you the whole load this morning. Maybe, how about that? I do want to point out something significant in John here, that John the Baptist is like three times affirming the divinity of Jesus, that this one is God. This is the one who had no beginning, the Son of God, become man. And this whole reading highlights the divinity of Jesus. And for us just to like take a moment and reflect and contemplate on that truth of like God, who had no beginning, will have no end, is all-powerful, almighty. This is God, who we can't, and in the Old Testament, the prophets could not even encounter the face of God, lest they see God and die. And so the magnificence, the awesomeness of God, and this is what John is pointing out. And so the Israelite people are very familiar with the motif of a lamb, right? Because we have the sacrificial lamb that was to reconcile the people, and the lamb was offered. And we know from Isaiah about the prophecy about this lamb who will be led to the slaughter like a sheep before its shears. You're all familiar with those verses. And so John speaks of a lamb, but what he highlights here is that this is not any lamb. This is the Lamb of God. This is God's sacrifice. So it's not human of origin. It's divine in origin. And then he goes on to affirm that this is God. This is his divinity. One is coming after me because as he was before me, because he was before me. So John the Baptist was born before Jesus, but he ranks higher than John the Baptist because he was before him. It's affirming that what? That he pre-existed. He's recognizing that this is God, and that even though in time John the Baptist came before him, Jesus comes before him as God. And then we have at the end, now I have testified and see that he is the Son of God. So affirmation after affirmation after affirmation that this man is no prophet, but he is God. This passage of John and John the Baptist speaking, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world, it finds itself into the Mass. And everyone's familiar with what part of the Mass that we hear, and this is incorporated. The last words that the priest says before receiving communion is what? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. What that should evoke in us is a movement such as John was leading his listeners to, that it's God here. This is the divine one. Does it find itself in any other part of the Mass? Behold the Lamb of God. This verse from the Gospel of John, the words of John the Baptist. What do we recite in the glory to God in the highest? Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, right? So it's actually incorporated into the Gloria. So several times it's proclaimed and declared, this verse these words, this proclamation of John the Baptist, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sin of the world. So very powerful. So for some of you who remember the old Mass, which would have been celebrated in the early 1960s and for the 500 years before that, most of the Mass was faced away, the priest faced away from the people. So he was facing towards the east. Only a couple times during the Mass did he turn towards the people, and it was for a very short period of time. But the most significant point at which, in the old Mass, the priest turns towards the people is right before communion. And what he does, the priest turns to the people, shows them the host, and says, Ecce Agnus Dei, Ecce qui tollit peccata mundi. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world. So that part of the Mass continues to be part of the new Mass that we've been celebrating for the last 50 years. So there's something here. What's the purpose of incorporating these words of St. John the Baptist into the Mass, and it's been part of the Mass for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years? To move us to a sentiment, move our hearts to prayer, and to recognize, acknowledge, and appreciate that it's God. Wake up! Hey, behold, we're pointing this out. Just like John the Baptist was pointing out Jesus, this is the one. And what would happen if we're stirred in such a way that we come with that kind of faith and approach with it awe and mystery that this is the Son of God? Maybe we don't understand it, but we appreciate and we ponder and we come with a sense of awe and with faith, and that's what begins to transform us ever more. And because we go to Mass, you know, some of you every day and everybody here every week, we hear these words and they go in one ear and out the other, right? Sometimes we have to stir ourselves to kind of reawaken what's happening here. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world.